Lutheran Church worship service with Pastors Poppy and Mirandi.
Be with you. Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Today we celebrate the transfiguration of our Lord. This is the end of our Epiphany season. We've been seeing how Jesus manifests himself in his glory each week. And today we see the mother of all manifestations in the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next week we'll start our pre-Lent journey, but before we do that, we have a marvelous, marvelous opportunity to witness Christ's glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. We are excited also to witness another manifestation of Christ's glory as we see the miracle of holy baptism, and so we rejoice in the way God freely gives his gifts. Couple of words on our worship service for today. We'll begin with our choral anthem, and a beautiful picture and sets the stage well for our transfiguration. Following the anthem, we'll have a short prayer. Sing our opening hymn, 413, Transfiguration Hymn, Wondrous Type, O Vision Fair, and then we'll follow with the order of holy baptism and matins. Before we do any more, we'll hear God's word in song.
Maker and bow our heads for a word of prayer, shall we?
Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of your glory that you show to us in many and various ways. Forgive us for taking these glimpses and these visions, your glory, for granted. Heavenly Father, bless us today that as we see your glory manifested on the Mount of Transfiguration and knowing you for who you truly are, God in the flesh, that our fear would be driven away and we would live in peace and confidence and contentment all the days of our life. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. We sing hymn 413, O wondrous type, O vision fair. Please stand on verse 5.
Found on page 268 in the front part of your hymnal, page 268. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And the Apostle Peter has written, baptism now saves you. The Word of God also teaches us that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as His own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. How are you named?
McKenna Ann Groff.
McKenna Ann Groff, receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemn the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserve believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold McKenna according to your boundless mercy and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in her, which has been inherited from Adam and which she herself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those they sponsor. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward a faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Is it your intention to serve McKenna as sponsors in the Christian faith? God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with His grace, fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that He might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And He took them up in His arms, put His hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Now we pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus has taught us, His gift to His beloved children. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Now, I know all of our eighth graders probably have their essays done by now. McKenna does not have her essay done. She does not have the ability to write an essay, to confess her faith, in the same way that our confirmands will, in the same way that she will one day. So at this point, we, as the people of God, as representatives of God's church on earth, the universal Christian church, we are bold to make answer to the questions presented before us. McKenna, Anne, Groff, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
McKenna, Anne, Groff, do you desire to be baptized?
Yes, I do.
Now, I had a panic moment earlier. It's empty. There's no water in here. How are we going to solve that problem? Oh, I see you have water. I think the little children have water, and they can bring it forward and put it in the font. And as they do so, the rest of us, we will sing hymn number 593. 593. Saved me. Now we have what? Water. What else do we need? We need the Word. We probably also need someone to be baptized, right? So we've got McKenna here. We've got the Word. We got the water. Now we need the Word. Are you guys ready? Okay, if you want to lift her over. McKenna, Ann, Groff, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with His grace to life everlasting. Amen. Okay.
Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ, and be ever watchful of His Son, you may meet Him with joy and enter with Him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which shall have no end. In holy baptism, God the Father has made you a member of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Care with us of all the treasures of heaven in one holy vision now.
Amen. We love you in the name of the Lord.
Let us pray. Hey guys, fold your hands, close your eyes. Okay. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family, and have granted to McKenna the new birth and holy baptism, and have made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that, as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life, to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you. Amen. All right, you guys can go sit down. I'll probably blow out the candle if you wish. All right, we got a few gifts here. First of all, a box for the candle. And then this medallion from Thrivent has the shell, which are the traditional image of baptism, the same sort of shell we use for our baptisms, and three drops of water, baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay. This one is for you guys. We also have the certificate and a few other items in here, and then a booklet that teaches about baptism, and the special gift given today. All right, and after the service, we'll take some pictures right after, okay? All right. May we never grow tired of seeing this miracle. May we never grow tired of seeing anyone, children, adults, reborn in the waters of holy baptism. Our service continues with Matins, page 219. Please stand. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to God, and to Thank you.
Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship you.
Together, our introit for the day is printed on your bulletin insert. Office hymn 666, you may be seated. The reading from Exodus, the 34th chapter. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near to him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to the words of our gradual. We speak them together. You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips.
The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
The epistle lesson is from the first chapter of Peter's second letter. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with them. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, have mercy on your house, and Lord, praise your glory.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
And peace, love, and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation today, the gospel reading that we heard just a moment ago, especially these verses from Matthew 17. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, fear is really kind of an amazing thing, isn't it? There are a lot of things that we are afraid of, depending on how you use that word fear. And you know, because you live with it every day. If you're afraid of getting sick, you get a flu shot. You go to the doctor and have a checkup. If you're afraid of having your teeth fall out, you go to the dentist. If you're afraid of what life will be like when you get old, you plan for, and maybe even save for, retirement. If you're afraid or you fear for your children's safety, you teach them the difference between red, meaning stop, and green, meaning go. And you might throw in a little bit about what it means to have a stovetop being hot. We live with these things every day. And the list could go on and on and on and on. If you're afraid of getting a ticket, you put on your seatbelt. And you keep the speedometer under the limit that is posted. If you're afraid of getting fired, you get out of bed in the morning and you go to work. If you're afraid of getting bad grades, you do your homework and you turn in your assignments. You get the point, right? This is a type of fear that we live with. And I think some people would call it common sense, natural law, rewards and consequences. This is the way the world works. This is a type of fear, a fear we live with every day. But that's not the fear that we're talking about in God's Word today. There's another kind of a fear, and at least in my mind, it's kind of a new phenomenon, but I guess it's really not new after all. There are some people that like to be made afraid. They have a love for, maybe even an obsession with, scary things. They like to read scary books. They like to watch scary movies. This fear brings them not only entertainment, but it brings them a thrill, an excitement. I cannot relate to this. I can't stand to watch the movie The Wizard of Oz. Sends shivers up my spine. But there are people that love to do this kind of a thing, even to the point where they dress up on Halloween or go on a zombie walk. Now, entertainment is entertainment. I would just exercise caution, because fear is not a game. And by getting enjoyment or entertainment out of it, we can't make it go away. The fear that God's Word is talking about today is a real fear. A drop you to your knees kind of fear. It is a fear that oftentimes is described or accompanied by the word terror. Or as the old King James Version used to translate it, sore afraid. This kind of fear is real. And it is this kind of fear that we have in front of us in Matthew chapter 17. The transfiguration of our Lord is tied directly to this kind of fear. Lutherans don't oftentimes know what to do with the transfiguration. Jesus shines like the sun, brighter than the sun. Okay, so what? We don't know what to do with this glimpse of Christ's glory. But this glimpse of glory, Christ gives Peter, James, and John, the inner circle of disciples, and he gives to you as well. Why? Because of fear, terror, and its reality and existence in this world in which we live. Jesus is up on the mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. Shouldn't surprise us that something big is about to happen. Whenever you have mountains in the scripture, oftentimes there is some major event that is happening. And there's really three major mountain events. We are reminded in our Old Testament reading of Moses. Moses goes up on top of Mount Sinai, even though to the human eyes it looks like Mount Sinai is on fire. He goes up there and God meets him face to face. With the finger of God, God inscribes the Ten Commandments, the Holy Law. And Moses, on behalf of God, brings the law to the people of God, even today. God's holy, God's moral law. We also know, and soon we will be with a laser focus looking at the details leading up to and culminating in what happens on another mountain. It's not really much of a mountain, it's more of a bump, kind of a hill. Calvary, Golgotha. And we know what happens there. Our Lord and Savior, God in the flesh, suspended between heaven and earth on an old rugged cross, bleeds and dies for the sin of the world. He bleeds and dies for you. Now, in between these two big mountaintop events, Mount Sinai and Mount Calvary, what do we have? We have the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus, who has just told his disciples that he will be betrayed into the hands of sinners, be mocked, be beaten, be crucified, and on the third day rise from the dead. They were completely clueless. They tried to stop him. Immediately after this, Jesus takes these three disciples up on top of the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus shows them who he really is. Now we know, we confess it in the creeds, it has almost become like a sterile doctrine for us. Jesus Christ, true man, begotten of the Father from all eternity, and also true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, and also true man is my Lord. True God and true man, Jesus Christ. The disciples had been with Jesus. and they had gotten glimpses of His glory, the same glimpses that we've been looking at during this season of Epiphany. Walking on water, raising the dead, healing the sick. But now Jesus, who has masked Himself, humiliated Himself on our behalf, He lets them see His glory. It's hard to describe. His clothing, His face, His hair shine like the sun. God, who is light, Jesus, who is the light of the world, Jesus, through whom all things have been created, gives these disciples a peek at who He really is. Beautiful Savior, right? Jesus, brighter than the sun and the moon and the stars. Jesus shines brighter. Jesus shines purer than all the angels in the sky. We know it. We sing it. And yet when we are confronted with this glimpse, like the disciples, we cower in fear. Why? Well, because God is holy and we are not. This holy God says to Peter, James, and John, and to all of us, be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. That means don't sin. When an unholy people, you and me, come face to face with a holy God, there's only one reaction. We see it in our text. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. My friends, there is a type of fear that is nothing more than common sense or natural law. There is a time when we want to, or maybe get enjoyment out of, laughing at fear. But fear is real. We can't stay on the mountaintop with Jesus and live our lives in a mountaintop experience. No. We don't live on the mountaintop. Not in Nebraska, anyway. We don't live on the mountaintop spiritual either. We live in the valley of the shadow of death. Our sin is real. The consequences of sin are real. And fear, true fear, drive you to your knees. Fear is real. This fear leads us to the sin of worry. The sin of worry leads us to the sin of despair. The sin of despair leads us eventually to crass doubt and unbelief. So what does God do? God gives us a glimpse, a picture of this glory. What do you do when you get afraid? Some people have like wild, strange, almost bizarre reactions to fear. Some people laugh. Some people talk. That was Peter. Peter is babbling on uncontrollably. He's afraid, and so what does he do? Blah, 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 blah. Let's build three tents. Let's stay here forever. He doesn't know what's going on. What does God do when we are talking nonsense, when we think we have better words than the Word of God? God loves us enough to tell us to shut up. While Peter was still talking, God spoke. My friends, oftentimes when we are confronted with the Word of God, we hear the Word of God, and we say, yeah, I know what God's word says, but I guarantee you, 99 times out of 100, whatever you're going to say after but is sin. We want to qualify God's word. We want to twist and shape God's word. We want to do everything except listen and believe God's word. Jesus knows that these disciples are about to undergo the most horrific pain and suffering that you can possibly imagine. Their teacher, their leader, their rabbi is about to be arrested, mocked, ridiculed, crucified, dead, and buried. All of their hopes, all of their false ambitions, everything is going to be crushed right in front of them. And so what does God do? God loves them enough so that they can make it through the suffering. God loves them enough so that they can endure this kind of pain and fear and hopelessness. He gives them a glimpse of Christ's glory. My friends, I don't know what you're afraid of, but if you're alive, if your blood is pumping, if you have not yet assumed room temperature, you probably have one or more real fears. Maybe it's about your family. Maybe it's about your health. Maybe it's about the world we live in. Maybe it's about your faith. Fears are real because sin is real. And God gives us a glimpse of Christ's future glory. We celebrate it on Easter. And we rejoice when Good Friday and Easter is delivered to us individually, personally, at the baptismal font. We rejoice in this glimpse of glory every time God declares, "My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven." We get a glimpse of that glory every time the very body and blood of Jesus in and under bread and wine is put in our mouth for forgiveness, life, and salvation. My friends, Jesus Christ, true light, true glory, glorified himself most as he bled and died for you and your sin. Jesus Christ gives you his glory as you hear his word and receive his gifts. Jesus Christ is true love. That's impossible on this side of heaven. Jesus is true love. And God's word teaches us very clearly, true love, Jesus, drives away all fear. Did you hear that? True love, 1 John 1, verse 7, drives away all fear. That's God's gift to you today. My friends, if your fear is gone, what's left for you to do? Live. Live the life that God has given you. Live as a son, as a daughter, as a husband, as a wife, as a boss, as an employee, as a church member, as a neighbor. Live in the vocation that God has given you. Don't live in fear. Live in joy. Live in confidence. Live in peace. Christ has loved you with an everlasting love. Your sins are forgiven. Your name is written in the book of life. Whatever life throws at you, whatever sin throws at you, whatever consequences of sin are before you, Christ is risen from the dead. He is victorious in love. He drives away all fear, and that means He drives away your fear. Live and love and enjoy. And when you get drugged back into the muck and mire and begin to worry and doubt and become terrified, look to Jesus and Jesus only. You know, over the last few weeks, there's been a Bible passage that has become very, very important for me and a lot of the people that I've been ministering to. It's in Joshua chapter 1. And it goes like this. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. You hear that? That's the kind of confidence, that's the kind of living that God wants for you. Be strong and courageous. Not because you got it all figured out yourself. Be strong and courageous because the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our worries, our fears, in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we can't help but sing in this new life that God has given us. Today we sing the Benedictus, page 226 and following. Please stand as you're able.
Oh,
welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, who loves you enough to drive away your fear. Thanks be to God. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of new life in Christ, a fear-free life, would be yours in Jesus today and always. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
Our service continues and concludes with the prayers, beginning with the Kyrie, page 227. We stand. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
the Lord be with you.
And with thy
spirit. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For all the baptized, especially McKenna, that we would heed our Father, our Heavenly Father's admonition to listen to His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, as He speaks to us through His holy word and sacraments, and that we would, by grace through faith, behold Him in His glory as He continues to tabernacle among us, delivering forgiveness, life, and salvation through the same. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are called and ordained to serve in Christ's stead and by His command, that all their preaching and teaching would flow from the right understanding that all Holy Scripture testifies of Christ and all that He has done and continues to do for our salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who have been placed in authority over us, including President Trump and the Congress of the United States, Governor Ricketts and the legislature of this state, that they would serve with integrity and with honor, having the welfare of all in mind, and for our country, that division, conflict, and strife would give way to unity, peace, and quietness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Lord's flock here at Good Shepherd, that we would be granted faithfulness, humility, and patience in our various vocations, striving to love God and neighbor in all that we say and do. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who are sick, hospitalized, recovering, enduring ongoing treatment or suffering in any way, especially those who have requested our prayers, that they would know your peace and receive healing and relief according to your gracious will. And for those who mourn, especially the family of Lynn Pagels, brother of Barb Poppy, taken to his eternal home this week, that they would be comforted by the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Moses, Elijah, Peter, James, John, and all the saints who have fallen asleep, trusting in our Savior's promises, let us give thanks to the Lord that we would be kept in the same faith and brought to behold with them the fullness of Christ's glory in His kingdom, which has no end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Him, with Him, and in Him, O God, Heavenly Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by your governance may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
May be seated for our closing hymn. Number 735, 735.
Jesus, you realize that we are vicarless here today. Oh, don't worry. Vicar's been in Hickman all day, and we pray God's blessings on the word that he delivered there with our sister congregation, Lamb of God. I encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. We had a lot of stuff happen over the last couple of weeks. You'll notice all the sign-up sheets and all that stuff is down. We had the big fundraiser for Pecan on Thursday night. If you weren't able to be here and eat pancakes and all that kind of stuff, you can still make a donation if you like. So just make a check out to Pecan and get it to the church, and we'll make sure that we get it into the right spot. Is all the food gone?
I don't know.
There was some leftover sausages, some that was cooked and some that wasn't. So if you're interested in that, call the church office and we'll get you taken care of there. The tickets are on sale for the upcoming school and preschool auction and gala, and there's information in the news and notes on that. Also, the new Higher Things devotions that start today are there on the back shelf, and help yourself to those. Anything else? I don't know. I think that's all. Have a great day and week and life in the confidence that is our Lord and Savior Jesus.
You have been listening to the regular Sunday morning worship service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Clint Poppy and Christopher Morande pastors. Empowered by the Spirit, compelled by God's love and forgiveness, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church celebrates and shares Jesus through worship and witness, nurture and fellowship. We invite you to join us each Sunday morning for worship at 8 o'clock or 10:30 a.m., Sunday school and Bible study at 9:30, or Wednesday evenings for worship at 6:30 p.m. with Bible study at 7:15. Good Shepherd is located in South Lincoln on 40th Street, one block north of Old Cheney. You can also worship Sunday mornings at our daughter church, Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Hickman. Worship services are held in the American Legion Hall at 106 Locust Street. Worship begins at 9 o'clock a.m. with Sunday school and Bible study at 10:15. Recordings of this and other services may be found by visiting our website at www.goodshepherdlincoln.org. Good Shepherd Lincoln is all one word. If you would like a tape of this service or would like more information about Good Shepherd, call Pastor Poppy or Pastor Morande at 402-423-7639. This broadcast is brought to you as a mission project of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Christ's Living Word.